NEF is brought to you in part today by Derby Lane, which now has new hours for its poker room. Sunday through Thursday, open 1 p.m. to 1 a.m. and Friday through Saturday, 2 till 2. For more information, go to derbylanepoker.com. It's been a fun 3 years, 159 straight weeks without missing a show. But today is our last one with the St. Pete Times, and we never imagined the one thing that we love to do here would be the reason that we were leaving. But our show and our streak will continue. It will continue on anyupmagazine.com. So be sure to look for us there, and be sure to download our new feed on iTunes.
Hey, this is AJ Benzer.
This is Justin Bonomo.
This is Downtown Chad Brown.
Hi, this is Clooney Gowan.
This is Daniel Negreanu.
Hey, this is David Singer.
This is Linda Johnson.
Hi, this is Greg Raymer.
Hi, this is Hoyt Corkins.
Hi, this is Cindy Violet.
Hi, this is John D'Agostino.
This is Joe Seabach.
This is Jennifer Harmon.
Yeah, this is Johnny Chan.
This is Cowboy Kenna James.
Hi, this is Mark Safe.
This is Paul Wasika.
Hi, this is Miami Johnson.
This is Dora Brunson, and you're listening to Annie Up.
3 years ago, Chris calls me up and says, hey, do you want to do a poker podcast? And I said, a what cast? He's like, you just got to talk about poker for 5 or 6 minutes. And I was like, okay, I think I can do that. And we started up on like the sixth floor, just in a little weird cubicle thing with a microwave and a bell. And we did 2 or 3 takes at the first one, which is hilarious to think back now that we just kind of let it rip now. But it was just a weird thing. Never heard of a podcast and talking, and in just over 3 years, it's weird to see how things have changed, and now podcasts are such a big part of people's lives, and you totally see the power of them. And it all went back to 3 years ago with a simple little Mac laptop and a couple weird, not even headphones then, just a couple mics.
Hey, everybody out there, I'd like to welcome you to Ante Up. It's a weekly poker podcast coming to you from the offices of TBT and the St. Petersburg Times. I am Chris Cosenza.
And I am Scott Long. We're going to be discussing everything poker on this show. And since this is our first podcast, let's let our listeners know a little bit about ourselves. I've been playing poker for about 3 years, about seriously, and try to play as often as I can. Vegas, online, other places. I also write a monthly column called Bet On It that appears on the last Wednesday of every month in TBT. And Chris?
I've been playing poker my whole life, but I have to admit I'm one of the bandwagoners jumping on most recently when it got popular on television. And now I'm taking it seriously. I play every day, play online, play at the local places, play home games, things like that. Studied up on it and really enjoy it. I'm a real avid poker fan. Our show is going to be dedicated to poker. And it's hopefully going to give you a better understanding of the game, maybe help make you a better player. And for the most part, we're going to talk about Texas Hold'em, since that's what everyone is playing these days.
But occasionally we'll also touch on Omaha, Omaha High-Low, and Stud, and other forms of poker. But this week we're not going to be talking about one specific game. We're just going to talk about the popularity of poker and whether or not it's plateaued. What do you think, Chris?
You know, I don't think it's possible for it to have plateaued yet, especially when you consider all of the cable and television stations that are carrying it. I mean, just off top of my head, all the ESPNs, FSN, NBC, Travel Channel, E, Bravo. I mean, even the Speed Channel has it, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I think at some point you're going to run across PBS and see Big Bird take down a big pot from Cookie Monster at some point. It's just, it's on every channel. But more so than that, I think it's just the number of people playing in tournaments now. I mean, the World Series of Poker just got started. The big main event will be next month, and it sounds like they're going to cap the entries at 6,600, which God. Is just amazing. It's more than double last year.
And when you think about when the World Series of Poker started way back when, it was like 10 people in the
room. Yeah, only about 10. And they used to write the names of the entries on a big board. I imagine there's no chance of that anymore.
No way. Plus, you know, and then adding to all of this, you got to think about the internet. I mean, every day another website is popping up with, hey, we'll teach you how to play poker and then take your money too. And
Yeah, if you haven't checked it out, definitely check out www.pokerpulse.com, which kind of rates the number of games that are going on at all the online sites, and it's just amazing to see how many new sites are turning up, and the number of players and the number of games that you can get in 24 hours a day in your pajamas at home if you want to.
That's right. And you know what? Poker is not for just the old guys smoking the stogies and the cowboy hats anymore. These games are being taken over by college kids, and they are smart and they are fearless, you know, and they're the reason why this game is getting so popular. And that's another reason why I believe that it is not plateaued and the popularity is only going to grow, because these kids are young and they're going to play it for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, we were talking earlier, it's certainly not a game that you ever give up. It's not something you're going to grow out of. You're always going to play at some point. You may not play as much as you do now, but there are going to be people coming up that are going to take your place.
So. Right. Time and space, percussion and bass. The whole world moving at a blinding pace. Life's a card game, trying to hold an ace. See, you might get erased in this great paper chase. Time and space, percussion and bass. The whole world moving at a blinding pace. Life's a card game, trying to hold an ace. See, you might get erased in this great paper chase. Now we're going to introduce another portion of our show. It's called Hand of the Week. Scott, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure, we're going to pick one hand every week that either Chris or I played in or we watched on TV and kind of break it down and talk about what we think about it. And I think this week, one we picked out was on the Bay 101 Shooting Stars tournament, which was on World Poker Tour on Wednesday night.
That's right.
And that was a wild final table.
Incredible.
Just so many strange beats and really gutsy plays that just turned out lucky. It was amazing.
And the hand that we're going to focus on is by a guy named Danny Wynn. I think he was the poker dealer at that.
Yeah, he's a poker dealer. He ended up winning the tournament. How? We have no idea.
We have no idea. It had to be the worst poker ever played to win a major event like that.
Absolutely. And this is a hand that happened very early on. He called a raise with 4-3 of clubs.
Right.
The flop came 2-king-ace. And, of course, the two players still in. One had a king and one had an ace.
Right.
But didn't chase him out, which was amazing. He called a $100,000 bet. And then on the turn, he led out, actually, with a $100,000 bet with nothing.
With absolutely nothing.
The only thing he could catch to win was a five. And, of course, on the river, he caught the five and took down about a $700,000 pot. But I think this is definitely something straight out of Super System. You make a big bet, semi-bluff here, looking to catch your one card. Your hope is to get everybody to fold and win the pot right there, but if not, you have the back door.
Yeah.
And he caught it here. But still, I got to think, I don't know what he was doing in after the flop.
No.
That's the big thing.
You know, they tell you to always have an out, but, I mean, that was literally four outs, and the rest of the cards give everybody else a win. And, you know, sometimes you got to have courage, but that just seemed like more of a poor play to me than a courageous play. But, yeah, that just goes to show you that anything can happen in poker, and that is pretty much why we play.
Absolutely.
So that's our Hand of the Week segment, and we're going to do that every week. And what we'd like to do is let you know that if you have any questions or comments, to be sure to email us at poker@tampabay.com. Maybe you played a hand poorly or wondered if you should have played it differently. So
just email us the details or any other questions you have, and tell us as much as you can, since poker definitely depends on the situation. I mean, there's no right play every time. And we'll see. Maybe we'll address your comment or hand on our next show.
Yeah, we'd really like to hear from you. And once again, that's poker@tampabay.com. So until next time, I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we'll see you at the tables. One of the best parts in having a partner with this is that, you know, he will come up with ideas that further the show along, and then I'll come up with something, and we always worked off of each other. And one of the ideas that Scott had was this tournament series. He thought, why aren't we playing with these people now that we've got all these fans? And I said, well, that sounds like a great idea. And we got together, and we played a tournament online. But then the second tournament, which was you know, pretty exciting because people were coming back to play with us, and we always enjoyed that. But during that second tournament, just before it started, someone had created a chat room where we could all get together. I was like, how many people are going to show up in the chat room, you know? And I'm sitting in front of my computer, and sure enough, they just kept coming in one after another, ding, ding, ding. And when it was all said and done, we had like 50 people in the chat room talking together about Annie Up and how they appreciate the show, and we've built this community, and they've made friendships, and they have friends around the world now, and they've gotten together with people around the world. And it just, I just feel like we've made a difference somehow, and we've made a lot of people happy, and we've made commutes easier. But when that moment happened, when all those people got together in one room and glad to be there, I just felt like this is definitely something special. Head down to Derby Lane's Poker Room, where they now offer a $3, $5 limit structure for Hold'em and Omaha. Plus, Derby Lane now offers a 2-5 no-limit Hold'em cash game with a $100 min-max buy-in. For more information, go to derbylanepoker.com.
You know, most shows have producers that figure out, you know, you've got, it's 6 seconds now, move, we're going on. But this has all been us. We've had engineers. You know, Dave Morrison started out with us, and then Debbie Wolf came on later on. But we've done the producing ourselves, and there needed to be some sort of structure in the background. You know, obviously a podcast is a free-flowing kind of raw kind of way of disseminating information, but I think our structure helped us out, and we never really necessarily called it the banter, but, you know, Chris and I always refer to it as that, as the first part of the show where we just talk about the funny things that have gone on in our lives in that week, the home games, the Apes event, the hand that we played in the local card room, you know, sharing some news from the poker world and talking our thoughts about that, listening to Chris get all upset about the RCG and all that, you know, almost the... All the guests we've had, all the great other stuff on the show, I always look forward to the very first part of the show when we just kind of talked about all things poker and stuff like Underdog and weird stuff like that that just came up to us and old movie references. The first part of the show is always my favorite part.
So I was at Tampa Bay Downs again Saturday. If you read the blog, you saw I finished on the bubble, which totally sucks.
Bubble boy.
You know, all that effort and to get nothing out of it. But a couple of the things there just drove me crazy. First of all, you know, because so many people are playing there now, they started putting 11 people at a table.
Have
you ever
man.
Played like that before?
Only once, and it was horrible.
Lots of places are doing this now, too. And I understand why, because so many people need to get in, they got to cram it in. But just a little tip for all of our listeners out there. If you're going to a tournament where you know you're going to be 11 at a table, do us a favor. Take a shower in the morning, a bath, drive your car to the car wash with the windows down. I don't really care how. Get yourself some clean. A little Dove, Ivory, maybe some Lever 2000. You know, make sure you get all 2000 of the parts. And because I tell you, it wasn't just one guy at the table. I was like in the middle of a perfect storm of stench.
Oh, my God.
You know, like Ben Gay was on special at the store or something that day. And it was just rough for the first 20, 30 minutes until we could, you know, got down to at least 10. Terrible.
It was clearly a tactical move on their part, though.
Probably,
they put you out of your game.
Probably.
That's why you finish on the bubble.
Exactly. You know, and they're probably going home, hey, God, there was this girly boy there who actually used soap today. It was probably terrible for them.
That is classic.
But the big thing was, it's amazing to me how upset people get playing poker.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's this guy at my table that I played with a couple times, and every single time it's the exact same thing. He plays a bunch of junk hands, plays them aggressively, whines about getting sucked out on his 10-7 off, getting sucked out by, oh, I don't know, ace-king or something like that. And then he's always out within the first two levels, slams his hands down on the table, stands up, shouts an obscenity, and then slinks out, and we all giggle and stuff.
Oh my
so
God.
That happened again this week, like clockwork. And then somebody made a comment, dude, it's just a $40 tournament, which I started laughing. But then I thought about it. You know, you and I are pretty cheap. And, you know, yeah. $40, it's $40. So
yeah.
I kind of felt like defending the guy a little bit. But, you know, whatever. But later in the tournament, it went to a whole new level. So fast forward to the final three tables. All of a sudden, there's a ruckus behind me.
Oh,
so,
no.
I turn around, as everybody in the room does, and I look over, and there's these two guys standing up in each other's face. Words are flying, shoving,
commencing.
All the supervisors are rushing over there to break them up. And so here's what we have. We have like a little Joe Pesci-looking guy, okay? You know, with
you looking at me?
White guys that have all the gold bling that looks annoying, all right? But he's like three Joe Pescis all squished together.
Oh, my God.
You know, he's like Pesci cubed, although I guess that's probably nine, right? But so big guy, big Joe Pesci guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then his combatant here is a little Eminem wannabe.
Oh, no.
Nowhere near as cool as Eminem. He's kind of like the Eminem guy in Scary Movie 3. Did you see that?
Yeah.
The little I have a dream.
Yeah,
my dream
yeah.
is to have a dream guy. So, you know, they're pushing and shoving, and I can't hear what the little Eminem guy is saying. But the big guy goes off like 12 times in a row with, oh, yeah, well, you don't know who I am either, you little F.
Oh, my God.
But he didn't say F, of course. He
right.
completed the bet.
Right.
And so he just went on. It's like 12 times. You don't know who I am, you little F. So at this point, I'm thinking, at what point of 6 or 7 or 10 insults of the same insult do you need to start reaching into your bag of intellectual tricks and come up with something a little better? Obviously, the words aren't working. You know, maybe you need to talk about his mom or something. I don't know. But it kept going on. And so finally, the supervisors jumped in and they said, all right, you guys are both done for the day. Kicking
wow.
you out.
Wow.
Which is great. So at this point, we were so close to the money, I'm like, all right.
Wow.
Let's do more people out of the tournament. I don't have to worry about it. Here's where it gets crazy. They weren't at a tournament table.
Oh,
they were
man.
At the $2 limit hold'em table.
Oh, God.
Now, we've talked a lot about how annoying that $2 hold'em game can be. And,
right.
And, you know, amazing the things that drive you crazy as your blood boil. I can't imagine anything that would happen at a $2 limit hold'em table that would cause me to engage in fisticuffs.
Oh, my God.
It was just amazing. So now they're dragging the kid out, and he, and some guy at my table decides to get a last lick in on him and says, dude, you need to straighten your hat. To which, you know, the guy said something else about parking lots and all that. You know, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's my second rant of the day. The kid had, you know, a baseball cap on, slightly off to the side.
Yeah, yeah.
When did this start? And how do we, can we end it? You know, if you got a baseball hat, you know, the hat gods require you to wear it normal, I think, right?
At least if you're going to not wear it normal, at least have it turn around perfectly around backwards.
If you're going to turn around backwards, sure, yeah. It's rally time.
But slightly askew.
I'll give you that.
What is that?
This little off-the-side thing. You know who it reminds me of? It's Duane Brazelton.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the pitcher.
And for all of you guys that are San Diego Padre fans, I'm so sorry. Your season's over already because we were able to foist this guy off on you. And two things I knew, and every time I heard Duane Brazelton is pitching, I knew, one, he was going to give up about 8 runs on one pitch.
That's right.
We're going to lose the game.
Yep.
And then the second thing, I knew I was going to look up there, and his damn hat was going to be crooked, and I was going to want to reach the TV and straighten it out for him because his mom didn't.
I got this email from a listener, which thrilled me in the beginning. We didn't even have a lot of correspondence with people, and we thought, you know, God, what are we doing this for? We're just talking to each other in this room, and... But the email says, hey, I'm a big fan of the show, and do you know who Kenneth James is? And I was like, well, of course I know who Kenneth James is. He's a great pro. I've seen him on TV. I've seen him on the Ultimate Poker Challenge, and he's the cowboy. I mean, everybody knows Kenneth James. And immediately I get another email back from this fan, and he says, well, I know Kenneth, and he'd love to do your show. And the next thing I know, you know, we're at a radio station calling up a professional poker player, and having the times of our lives.
All right, but all those places are not a whole lot of cowboys in Illinois, Michigan, California, Las Vegas. How did cowboy come about?
It's funny, you know. I look around the poker room, nobody wears a cowboy hat anymore. What's going on?
What is up with that?
You and Doyle,
what is up
that's
with that?
It.
They're all wearing baseball caps, and not only are they wearing baseball caps, they're all crooked. What is up with that? I mean, seriously. Huh? I mean, they got it turned to the side. I every time I see one, I reach over the table and I try and adjust it, and it just doesn't work. They go, what are you doing? My wife, you know, I love country music. My wife turned me on to it, and so I, you know, she dresses me, you know, with the boots and stuff. You know, I guess she wanted to marry a cowboy. I don't know. That's her fantasy, maybe. So I you know, I, of course, after many fights and arguments, I just started listening to country music and wearing the hat for her. You know, that stuff I can wear out in public. The other stuff I can't. So I'm playing this tournament over in Vegas at the Plaza. and it's the final table. They're filming it, and this woman, you could actually, if anybody's seen the show, there's this drunk woman yelling, "Go Cowboy, go Cowboy," and she just kept saying it, and then...
Was that Ultimate Poker Challenge?
Yeah, Ultimate Poker Challenge.
Yeah, I saw that. I did see that.
Yeah, and so Chad Brown just started naming me the Cowboy, and then where I would go, people say, "Hey, where's your hat?" And it just kind of took off.
Oh, that's great.
So, now I get a lot of flack if I don't wear it.
So. I've always loved to travel. It's always been part of my what I like to do, and like to see different states and countries and do things like that. But I got to say, the traveling to play poker is really kind of the highlight of my year now. And it's always great to take along a traveling buddy. And Mike Faso has gone on almost all my poker trips with me. And... without fail, we come back with some great stories, you know, whether we go out to Los Angeles and, you know, order tableside food at the Commerce and listen to an old lady complain about her straight flush, or Las Vegas, where, you know, I'm driving crazy down the strip and he's holding on for dear life, or even in Niagara, you know, we're trying to cross the border. It's been a lot of fun to travel with Mike, and then at each of these stops, it's been great to, if we could, hook up with listeners from all around the world. I mean, when we started this, you know, we thought we'd have a couple of listeners around the Tampa Bay area, and then very quickly we realized the internet goes beyond Tampa Bay, it goes around the world, and so it was great to play with players at the Commerce in Los Angeles, or at Binion's in Vegas, or even in home games for Chris in Connecticut. Just traveling and seeing how poker is played all around this country and around the world has been quite a highlight.
Did you guys rented a car and then had to keep going over the border and all that? Was that
Yeah. Let me just explain something about Scott. I guess Scott hasn't really crossed a lot of international boundaries in his lifetime. We get to the... border going into Canada. We have our passports ready. Scott's all like, "Hey, how's it going? Good afternoon." And he's like, "It's a toll booth." And I said, "You know, this is an international boundary in a time of terror. This is not like the entrance to the funhouse at the state fair, all right? So you need to just dial it back a little bit on your little glad handing with the customs guy."
Glad handing.
It's like, "Hey, how you doing?" And the guy's like, "What country are you from?" I mean, he's all business. So that's what he should be doing.
Right.
And Scott says, "U.S. And he said, "Where are you going?" And Scott said, "We're going to our hotel." And he said, "What are you doing up here?" And Scott said, "Visiting."
We were.
And so the guy said, "Who are you visiting?" He said, "Just visiting."
We were.
And he said, "What do you mean visit?" And I had to lean my head down because Scott was driving and I was in the passenger seat. I leaned my head down and looked up at the guy and I said, "We're going to play poker over at the casinos." I finally had to just spell it out what we were doing up there. Because if it was up to Scott, we would have been there forever.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was unbelievable what Scott was. And then later the guy says, "So what do you do?" And Scott goes, "Huh?" He says, "What do you do?" And Scott, "Huh?" And I said, "Scott, he's asking you what you do for a living." Scott had a lot of trouble at the border.
Okay.
All right, let me try to defend myself here, all right?
You can try.
The last time I crossed the border into Canada, it was in Detroit going to Windsor for a Packers-Lions game. My brother and I went up there, and we got freaking Betty Crocker at the, "Hey, coming up for the game, hey, great! Have fun! See ya!"
Was that pre or post-2001?
Of course it was pre-2001.
Well, I mean, what do you expect?
Well, 2001 was 5 years ago. I'm trying to forget. So this time, you know, I get freaking Detective Sipowicz there.
No, it was the same situation.
Turns his chair around and shines a light on me. And
we had
I'm supposed to, you know, quickly react to it.
We had the same
freaking Canada
situation every time, about 8 border crossings. And each time it was the same demeanor of the customs or the border inspector. And each time Scott didn't understand that you just answer the questions directly and simply and go get on with it.
Oh, my God.
He's in there fumbling around like, I don't know why, but "Oh, what do you mean, what do I do?"
I think the landmark episode for us was the 100th episode, and we wanted a way to incorporate all of the facets of our show, and we also wanted to incorporate our fans because they are the reason why we do this. And the way we did it was this roll call where we had them call into our hotline and leave a message for us, and they could say whatever they wanted. And the best part about that roll call for me was you really got to understand the personalities of these people by what they said and what they think of us, by either what they scripted or by the personality behind their character that they impersonated or their voices. You know, having someone enter their speech into a automated speaking robot voice that imitated the random card generator, which they knew that would always, you know, get a rise out of me, and or our good friends that we've made through the show, like Mark Gambit. You know, we always tease him about being an IT guy, and of course his little roll call thing included a robot, you know, serving him drinks, it felt like a family with that roll call. And people always talk about when they listen to songs, there's always that moment in a song where it gives them the chills. You know, it's a special song to them. Well, that roll call just gave me one long chill. It was really one of the more special moments that I've enjoyed while doing the show.
Hello, Chris and Scott, and greetings to the Anti-Up Nation. This is the random number generator from Full Tilt Poker calling to congratulate you on your 37th episode. Wait, I mean your 100th episode. Sorry about that, I'm not very good with numbers. I was much better in English, perhaps I should have been used as a spell checker instead. Anyways, love the show, keep up the great poker content, and I promise to generate some interesting hands for your Hand of the Week segment.
Hi, Chris and Scott, it's Carrie from Sacramento, and I'm one of, I know, many devout members of the Anti-Up Nation. Congratulations to you guys on your 100th episode. I really want to thank you for adding so much knowledge to the poker community and kind of helping out those of us who want to gain a bit of an edge in our game. So thank you very much, and congratulations, and I can't wait to hear more.
Hi, this is Frank Rodolf, a.k.a. Frodo NL, calling from the Netherlands. Congratulations on reaching 100 episodes. I mean, many more follow. I really appreciate all the effort you put into this, and I learned a lot from you guys. Bye-bye.
Hey, guys, it's Michael Myers from Mill Valley, California. I've been an avid listener from the beginning, and just wanted to congratulate you on your 100th episode. Take care.
Hey, Chris, Scott, and Faso 2, this is Aquaman, or Chris from Boston, calling to say congratulations on reaching 100 shows. Call up to a black chip, baby.
This is Jeremy from Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm calling for the Anti-Up roll call for the 100th show celebration. It was inspired by Bull Durham and the famous speech by Crash Davis. So here's my version of a conversation with Faso, Scott, and Chris. Scott. Well, what do you believe in then, Faso? Well, I believe in the bankroll, the flop, the fish, the old-fashioned dealer's cap, stacking chips tall, ace high, good Shauna, that other podcasts are overrated, over-technical, no fun crap. I believe Jesus Ferguson never really won anything with a chip in a chair. I believe there ought to be a constitutional amendment outlawing players that wear their ball caps backward at the table and poker shows that only show all-in hands. I believe in raising from the cutoff seat, playing online sit-and-goes in the morning rather than the evening, calling pocket queens ladies, and I believe in long, slow, multi-table horse events that last 3 days, where the final table is Raz and there's no rake. Good night. Chris. You're killing me! All right, guys, hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for all the great shows. Enjoying it and looking forward to the next 100.
Hey guys, this is Paul from Central Illinois, Hoyo, D.C., in the Anti-Up Tournament. Congratulations on your 100th show. It's been great so far, and I hope you keep it going for a long time.
Hey guys, Jason from Connecticut, JLB Sox. Want to congratulate you on your 100th show. Love the show, love it. You guys have been like mentors to me. You really improved my game. However, I think since I've been listening, I've been staying up till 2 in the morning playing sit-and-goes on Full Tilt, and that has not done wonders for my love life, but, you know, what are you going to do? You got to make compromise somewhere. Anyways, congrats. Keep going another 100 more.
Josh from Tallahassee here. Congratulations on 100 episodes, guys. Found you around 50. And what really shows that you're a great show is I stopped playing poker around 3 months ago. But you just have a great podcast. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, Chris and Scott, this is AZ Slick from Mesa, Arizona, and congratulations on your 100th podcast. Looking forward to 100 more.
Hey, NEF Podcast, this is Ted Guerrero from San Bernardino, California, on Full Tilt as Evil Ted. Just calling to congratulate you on your 100th podcast, and keep it up, because I've been looking forward to every week. Congratulations, and get the table.
Chris and Scott, it's Robin, a.k.a. Popeye39, calling to congratulate you on the 100th podcast. Hopefully there's 100 more in you, or more. Also wanted to let you know I tried to line up some stars for you, some guest hosts, some guest stars. Fred Travellino was busy, Brett Summers was busy, and Rip Taylor's going to get back to me. So, it's looking good for that 100th episode. Good luck, guys, and thanks for the entertainment. Congratulations.
Hi, this is Mark from Oxford in England. I really love Anti-Up. I think Chris, Scott and Mike have got great humour and it's full of information. Like, for example, Show 31 is a classic. And it's the only podcast which deals with non-holding games. You know, guys, what I've got to say is, let's play Raz. Uh-huh. This is Elvis here, the king of rock and roll. Uh-huh. Anti-Up and Chris, Scott and Mike. You've got the Aseta Kings of poker podcasting. Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
Congratulations to Annie Up for reaching the century mark. This is Fred from Illinois, known in some circles as Rice F88, and in others as the Apes 1 Raz Banana winner. Wishing Scott, Chris, Faso, and the entire Annie Up Nation all the best as we move forward on to show number 200. Can't wait for it. Good luck, guys.
Hey, guys, it's Chicago Mike calling in to say congratulations on your 100th episode. Going back through the records, it looks like I must have joined the Annie Up Nation around episode 10 or 11, because I certainly remember having a few episodes under my belt before the infamous Pot Odds show. It was great to meet Chris earlier this year and raise his big blind a little bit, and hopefully it doesn't take 100 more episodes before I have the chance to do the same to Scott and maybe check race Faso. Congratulations again, guys. Keep up the good work, and here's to the next 100 shows.
Chris and Scott, it's Ed calling from Denver. Hey, 100 episodes. Congratulations. I've been with you guys from the beginning. Love the podcast. Have a great time listening to it. You make my rush hour drive a lot shorter. Keep it up, and I'll see you at 200.
Hello. Yes, I'd like to order a large pepperoni pizza with extra sausage. This is Tom Turley going to St. Petersburg time. Chris Cosenza and Scott for their 100th episode. Congratulations. The pie is on me. Later.
Salut Chris, salut Scott. Mon nom est Eric de Montréal au Québec. Je voulais simplement vous féliciter pour votre 100e balado diffusion de NTUP et vous remercier pour toute l'information. Et votre équipe, ceci inclut Colombo, vous nous apportez à chaque semaine afin de faire de nous les meilleurs joueurs de poker et de nous tenir informés sur le merveilleux monde, surtout dans un format très divertissant selon moi. J'espère que vous nous offrirez encore une centaine d'autres balados diffusion de NTUP et que M. Faso apparaîtra dans 23% d'entre elles. Alors, de la part d'un de vos plus fervents auditeurs au Québec, congratulations again, many thanks.
Dave from Redondo Beach, California, BB Dave on the forum, and just wanted to congratulate you on your 100th show, and can't wait to come out to California again so we can pay the commerce $600 for free quesadillas. Have a good one.
Hello, Annie Up Nation. This is Poker Geek from Minnesota. Congratulations, Scott and Chris, on your 100th episode. Oh, and I'm still waiting for a decent episode on Pot Odd.
Hey, Chris, Scott, Faso. This is Short Stack Seamus calling from Personville to congratulate you guys on making it to 100 episodes. Just an awesome show. Really appreciate all the time and effort you guys put into it. I know it's not as easy sometimes as it might seem to the listeners, but and it's a lot of hard work, but you guys do just a really great job. Always entertaining, informative. I just look forward to it every week. And I also want to thank you guys for helping create this community of poker players. I guess I'm probably like a lot of your listeners. I almost always play online. I don't really have a regular home game, so it's just great to be able to participate in this group that you've helped establish, not just through the show, but with the blog and the forums and the store and the Apes tourneys and everything. Just great stuff. Really adds a lot to my enjoyment of the game. So keep up the good work, and thanks, and take care.
Hey, guys. It's Sheila, your favorite poker slut. Congratulations on your 100th episode. Has Scott done the calculations for the odds for whether or not you guys are going to make it to 200? I hope the next 100 will be just as fun and entertaining and, dare I say it, hilarious as the first 100. Now, if only you guys would put your money where your mouth is and get on full tilt with the Ante Up Thursday night crowd and actually play some poker with us, we'd all be happy campers. Take care, guys.
Hey, Scott and Chris. This is Ray from Seattle. Wanted to wish you all the best on your 100th show. Congratulations. Listen to all of them on the podcast, and you guys are right up there, definitely one of the best. So sometimes as a Seattleite, I feel a little bit like a eunuch, only being able to watch and not play, but you guys do a great job keeping us interested. Thanks again, and all the best.
Well, hello there, Ante Up Nation and Ante Up co-host. This is Justin Herkamp, also known as Jay Herky sometimes. I'm just calling to say congratulations on the 100th episode, and here's wishing for 100 more, and then 100 more after that. And after that, maybe one or two to cap it off, or, you know, whatever you feel like. Anyway, congratulations, and y'all have a good one.
Hey, Chris and Scott, this is Andrews, a.k.a. Tornado, calling in from London, England. I'd like to say congratulations to successful 100 episodes. Keep up the good work. Keep busting each other's chops. And from all of us here in Europe, I say we look forward to the next 100 episodes.
Hey guys, this is Sharky. You're listening to Show 100 of the best poker podcast in the land. Ante Up, congratulate y'all on your 100th show. Hope you guys have many, many more. And thank you for creating the nation, which takes up a lot of my time, and it saved my marriage. Thanks again.
Hey guys, it's Dave from Boston Spa, New York, or DJM182. I want to send you my congratulations on the 100th show, and especially I want to say thanks for what you guys do, for all the work you put in each week in preparing for the show, for the effort you've done in teaching, you know, all the listeners new games, even Raz, yeah, thanks. But also, I want to thank you and congratulate you for what you've accomplished in building the Ante Up Nation. You know, any kind of building of an online or virtual community like that is incredibly hard to do, and you guys are a good prototype as to how that can be done. Congratulations, thanks a lot, and I'm looking forward to the next 100 episodes.
Hey, it's F. Mike, inaugural Apes Banana winner, and for the Ante Up Nation, for Cosenza especially, because we go way back in the St. Pete Times sports crazy desk. Just want to say 100 episodes. It's a wonderful occasion. I hope you guys make 100 more, and it's always been one of the best highlights of the online poker world. So take care, and everyone, good luck at the tables.
Hey guys, it's Lauren calling. I wanted to call and say congratulations. I can't believe it's been 100 episodes. It seems like just yesterday that we were given the advice on how not to play Queen 10 out of position. Anyway, congratulations, and keep up the good work.
Hey, this is John from San Jose. I want to say congrats on reaching 100 episodes, and I want to let you know if you don't get to 100 more, that'll really burn my toast.
This is Craig, 2A3 from Solvang. 100 must be a peach of a show. Congratulations. Keep up the great work.
100. What's up? It's Newt Skins calling from Virginia Beach. Just wanted to congratulate you guys on 100 show. Congratulations.
Hey, Chris, Scott, it's Tom, a.k.a. Pizza Boy, Virginia Beach. Just wanted to say congrats on the 100th episode of your show. Keep up the great work, and hope to see you guys in Vegas in July. Take care.
Hi, this is Mitch from Youngstown, Ohio, offering congratulations to Scott and Chris on their 100th episode of Ante Up. Great job, guys.
Congratulations, Ante Up, for making the Century Club, from Tate Stack.
From Tampa came Chris and Scott. They're on Ante Up, which is hot. Their friend is the bard, they talk about cards, and will help you to win the big pot. The 100th show is here. Ante Up is the show of the year. Of poker they speak and of fish that are weak, Chris and Scott are the best you will hear. Hey guys, congratulations on 100 shows. This is John in Oregon, a.k.a. Storet. And congratulations. Love the podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Nicodemus, or Scott from New Jersey. I just wanted to say congratulations on your 100th episode. And whether Chris is calculating pot odds or Scott is pontificating on au jus, you guys are hysterical. Congratulations, and looking forward to 100 more.
This is Brett Ott in Lincoln, Nebraska, from episode 73, Shuffle Up and Deal.
Hey, guys, this is Godard in Philadelphia, wishing you the best on your 100th anniversary, and just reminiscing that I've been there since the first shows and have progressed from being a mildly successful online player to someone struggling with $60 in my account, no way to get more money in, and doing absolutely nothing in the apes. So thank God you guys are funny, because you ain't helping my poker game. Good luck. Have 100 more great shows.
Hey, guys. Chris and Scott, no question. Just wanted to, in advance, congratulate you on the 100th show coming up. I cannot wait to see and hear the cavalcade of stars that will be gracing the Annie Up Nation on that show. Scott, go Bucks. And congratulations again, fellas. Love the show. This is Robin from Grant.
Hi, Anti Up Nation. This is James from New York, originally England, also known as Anti Up Fan in the Full Tilt Anti Up podcast tournament. And well done on 100 shows, guys. And here to another 100. And keep up the great stuff. And Fesso is my hero.
Hey guys, this is Alan Stewart from Corydon, Indiana, also known as the Big Fat Loser of Hand of the Week, Circus Show 60. Just wanted to wish you guys a happy 100th episode, which I'm sure will be the first of many, many milestones you all will reach with your podcast. Congrats again, and I'll be seeing you at the tables.
Hey guys, this is Gambit. I'm just calling to congratulate you. Me. Yes, Coleman 2.0, what is it?
Your martini is ready, sir.
Ah, thank you. I think we need to tweak it just a bit. Coleman, adjust gin to vermouth ratio plus 5%. Execute.
Right away, sir.
Sorry about that. It's hard to build good health these days. On behalf of the Andy Up Nation, congratulations on your first 100 shows, and we're looking forward to the next 100. Later, guys. Andy Up.
This is Chicago Jason with ChicagoPokerClub.net. Congratulations to the number one poker podcast on the internet, Andy Up, on your 100th episode.
Hello, this is Martine Tuckman, and I'm holding down the Andy Up field office in Tucson, Arizona.
Hey, Scott and Chris. Nick from D.C. You might recognize me as Zerka Boyd on Full Tilt Poker. Haven't thought of anything funny to say, but I've been listening to you guys since December 2005 when I got my iPod, and listened pretty much every week since then. I'm enjoying it and hoping to go another couple years at least. Keep up the good work, guys.
Good afternoon. My name is Brian Henson, calling from the firm of Brady, Allen, and Strock, and I am representing the Association of International Proctology Specialists, also known as APES. And it's come to our clients' attention that you are using the APES trademark. Apparently, and it was difficult to locate you individuals because it took some research to find that you're hiding behind an internet website, which is apparently something to do with online poker, which, again, with my little background in law, I understand is illegal in this country. So what we need you to do is get back to me as soon as possible, because we definitely need to work something out, because our client is no longer going to allow you to use this APES trademark. And I understand that there's a gentleman, I believe his name is Mike Fasso, who's most involved in this with Chris Cosenza or Scott Long. I'm hoping one of you individuals would get back to me, because obviously this is going to be something that my client will not tolerate, to especially have their trademark actually infringed upon. On a more serious note, I'd like to congratulate you guys on your 100th episode. I'm sitting back just drinking a Red Bull, calculating the odds of you guys making 250 shows. And I don't know exactly what those odds are, but it'll definitely burn my toast if you guys don't make it to 250. It's a terrific podcast. I love listening to you every week. And I know you even have a non-poker audience, because my wife has even indicated when I've put other podcasts on that this is boring. And I put you guys on, and she says, see, these guys are funny. So I enjoy the show. I enjoy your regular guy kind of take on things with poker, and looking forward to listening to many more podcasts in the future. And this is Brian Henson from New Berlin, Wisconsin, right outside Milwaukee, part of the Ante Up Nation. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Chris and Scott. This is Anthony from Springfield, Oregon. Just calling to say I'm a lifelong fan for as long as you guys are on the Internet. Keep up the good work. Always like your funny anecdotes, and you guys are doing a good job.
Hey, guys. This is Con Woman, a.k.a. T. Congrats on your 100th episode. You guys have no idea how proud I am of you. I remember way back when Zook's telling me, oh, you got to listen to this podcast. And I got to say, the first one I heard, I was a little less than impressed. I thought to myself, oh, my God, these guys don't even know how to play poker. But look how far you've come. You guys let Fasso on the show, and now your poker discussion is worth listening to. But seriously, not only has your podcast seriously improved, your games have as well, and so have your listeners' games. So here's to another 100, guys. Keep them coming.
Hello, Chris. Hello, Scott. This is M. Long from the Netherlands.
But I think that's the best part of it.
I want to congratulate you with your 100th show. And here's to another...
Wait.
What? Okay, and here's to another 100th show. Congratulations, and see you at the tables. Bye.
Hey, Scott and Chris, this is Joe, otherwise known as Unimpressed, from the blog and the board. Just want to say congratulations on your 100th episode. Even though I don't know if you can qualify it as 100 episodes, since the first bunch of episodes were like, what, 10 seconds long? Congratulations on your 100 anyway, you know, quote, unquote, 100. Seriously, though, congratulations. It's a great podcast, despite the dry humor. And I look forward to 100 more. Let's play Raz.
Hey, Chris and Scott, this is Matt calling from Minnesota. I'm also known as Bodie25 online and on the forums. Just wanted to call and say congratulations on 100 strong, and I can't wait to hear 100 more. Love the show. Take it easy, guys.
Hey, guys, this is Mike from Massachusetts. I just want to say I have what is called the wheel. It has earthy undertones, a smooth draw, enough kick to give me the high and the low. Have a good one, guys, and congratulations on 100 shows.
Hey, Scott and Chris, this is New Scott from the home game. Congratulations on your episode 100, and keep bringing in those advertising dollars so they can be distributed back into the home game to me.
Hi, this is Don from St. Louis calling to offer congratulations to Chris and Scott on the 100th episode of Ante Up. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and this one is top-notch. It's funny and informative. The interviews are great, with Paul Waska and Clooney Gowan standing out as some of the best. You listen well and expand their answers by asking good follow-up questions. These are not talk-to-point interviews, but true question-and-answer sessions. Keep up the good work, and I'll write something better for episode 200.
Greetings from the great Papu!
Chris and Scott, this is Samuel from D.C. I'm a big fan of your show. Almost been listening to it since the first episode. Keep up the good work, and I wish you all good luck at the events you're planning to play at the World Series of Poker.
Hey, Chris and Scott, this is Mike Schultz from Woodland, Washington, and I'm congratulating you on your 100th episode of Ante Up. Keep up the great work.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Scott. This is Zerbit in St. Louis. Congratulations on reaching the big round number. Keep up the good work, and we'll see you at the tables. I'll bring the tissues.
Hello, Chris and Scott. This is Nate46 from Alamosa, Colorado. I'm calling to wish you a happy 100 show. Thank you for producing a fun and entertaining podcast. I really enjoy listening. Good luck in Vegas, and remember, have a good time.
Hey, guys. It's Gary from Virginia. Congratulations on the 100th show. And in the next 100 show, can you answer the question of why Chris will hesitate to pay a buck to get into a card room, but at every opportunity overbet or push all in on a pot? Hey, congratulations, guys.
This is Scotty Peppers calling in for roll call. Now you have to excuse me. I gotta go sit down and swim with the fishes at the 10-cent no limit table to find the guy who sucked out on me last week on the river.
I know what you're afraid of. You broke my heart.
Hey, Chris and Scott, it's John Silva from New York, a.k.a. Eisman 13. Just wanted to say congratulations on the 100th and hope there's at least 100 more in our future. Talk to you guys soon.
Hey, guys, this is Joe from Detroit, Michigan. I'm known as KTZ on Ultimate Bet.
I wanted to call and congratulate Chris Costanza and Scott Lang on 100 episodes. And I'd feel rude not to congratulate Mike Fatso for all the effort that he's put in as well. Keep up the good work, guys. I've been listening for, I don't know, probably about 60 episodes. And, you know, there's nothing else better. Keep it up.
Hey, this is Don from BlindSquirrelPoker.com. Wanting to congratulate Annie up for 100 episodes. You guys definitely hit the over.
Hey, Chris and Scott and the entire Annie Up Nation, it's Dave from Ohio. Just wanted to wish you guys a congratulations on 100 shows. As we all know, other poker podcasts and poker shows have canceled, but Annie Up has done nothing but groans. It's a great show. Enjoy listening every week and look forward to 100 more.
Peace out.
This is the cowboy, Kenna James, saddling up next to Chris and Scott to celebrate their 100th show. Congratulations, guys. You flopped more shows than anyone thought possible. Throw a brat on the grill. Grab a cold one. It's time to celebrate. I'm glad I'm here with you. Keep it up. That's tasty. Pass the mustard, will you?
Hi, hon. Not that I would ever want to feed that ego, but 100 shows? Remarkable. You and Scott have worked so hard. Take a bow. You deserve it. Congratulations.
The St. Pete Times has been a great friend to us, getting us started and eventually building the studio for us and offering a little encouragement along the way. And then one of the things that they've suggested is that we try to do a little bit more about Tampa Bay poker. And I think one of my resolutions, too, we've done a couple shows on resolutions, and one was to get more active in Tampa Bay, because the poker community here in Tampa Bay is really cool. We've got a lot of great rooms here, and we've made a lot of friends. You know, Jeff at Derby Lane and Sam at One Eye Jacks and Patrick at Silks, Jody over at Tampa Greyhound Track, and the folks out at Hard Rock. It's just such a great little area for poker. And watching how the laws have changed, I mean, back when we first started the show, it was, my wife and I went out to the Hard Rock, it was Seminole at that point, and played quarter 50-cent poker, and I lost $40 in 20 minutes not doing anything just because of the ante structure. And then it went on to $2, and we thought, wow, now we can play real poker. And we went out, and it wasn't any better. It was just more expensive. And then finally last year, the laws really changed, and it's still only $5 bet for a limit, which is frustrating for a player like me. But we have no limit now. We have better tournaments. And just walking into a card room now and seeing how busy they are, and the new ones that open, Sam's new one and One Eye Jacks was great to walk into that the first time. And we went up to see the Silks with a new room, and just to see that Tampa Bay poker has really come a long way, and Florida poker in general. And to be here and walking in those rooms and have people walk up and say, hi, thanks for doing the show, and talking about the show, and just seeing how people play. Tampa Bay is a great place to play poker.
Head down to Derby Lane's Poker Room, where they now offer a $3, $5 limit structure for Hold'em and Omaha. Plus, Derby Lane now offers a 2-5 no-limit Hold'em cash game with a $100 min-max buy-in. For more information, go to DerbyLanePoker.com.
It's always nice to receive an accolade or a pat on the back for what you do. And when we first heard that, you know, we were number two in the Chicago Poker Club poll for the best podcast a few years back, you know, we were like, okay, what do we got to do to get better? And so we did. We incorporated the 1 Minute Mystery with Columbo, and you know, we instituted the tournaments, and we started giving stuff away, and you know, having more guests, and we really stepped it up. And next thing we know, we were the Chicago Poker Club's best podcast 2 years running. And I think that got us going, and culminated in an award from Bluff Magazine, which is, you know, the largest poker magazine in the world, and we were picked as their best podcast. And it just it lets you know that what you're doing is right, and it's always rewarding to know that not only are the people who are enthusiastic about tuning into you enjoying your show, but now outside people are also recognizing that we are actually making a difference and bringing you a quality product. to say something a little different.
Yeah, maybe we should have. You know,
maybe say something like, welcome back to Annie Up, Bluff Magazine's Reader's Choice Award winner for Best Podcast. But then I didn't do it.
So. See, and we invited Mike Fassel on the show just so we could ring the bell.
Thanks, Mike.
The bell
ringer. Mike is here today. he picked the perfect time to come on.
Congratulations, guys.
You
for
too,
winning
Mike.
That, what is it, Poker News Bluff of the Year pod?
Close.
Something.
Close.
Great, great. It's good stuff.
I was trying to think about it. I was thinking about our show as far as what we could win, and I would think that's probably the most prestigious thing we could win. What else could we win?
We've reached the pinnacle. The plateau is all downhill from here.
That's right. Nowhere here to go for up but down. But I don't know what – I mean, really, is there another award that we could win for this show?
Well, you know, Card Player doesn't do anything like that, right?
Right. So, I mean, that's it, man. We've reached the mountaintop.
Yeah, well, maybe there's a...
Without a Sherpa.
Maybe there'll be like a World Series of Poker podcast tournament for only podcasters. I can't tell you how many sleepless nights I've had worrying about if I got hit by a bus and wondering what my obituary would say on cardclubs.net on the Annie Up forum, and thinking it would say Scott Long, who consistently hacked the hand of the week, was... killed by a bus today. So I became a better driver never to see that, because the hand of the week, it's become legendary that I just stumble over my words and mess it up. And in fact, even gave a Hollywood ending to a listener's hand when Clooney Gallen was on the show once. It really is harder than it sounds to take these great hands from our listeners and make them make sense and really dissect it. But the hand of the week has been just a great segment of the show because ultimately when we're playing poker, you're playing hands and you want to think about how you're going to play a hand, how you'd play it differently. And I appreciate all the listeners over the years who have sent us their hands and as they said, laid themselves bare for us to make fun of or pick on their game so they can go back and think about how they would play a hand differently. In the beginning, too, you're taking hands off World Poker Tour and shows that we were watching, and obviously that just was never going to be the best way to do it. So when our listeners started sharing their hands, that's when I think the show got a lot better, and it really kind of gave that interactive thing back to our listeners. So we appreciate all the hands of the week that have been sent in over the years. This is from a home game, a little quarter 50 cent no limit cash game, $20 buy-in, and there's 10 players. Our listener here has $38 in front of him. He's playing tight and semi-aggressive, he says, so he's built a stack up a little bit. There's a player that he likes to call E, who's very aggressive, and he has $55 in the stack, all right?
Okay.
And the average stack of the other people is about 15 to 20, so they've all taken a little bit of hit. In this particular hand, E is under the gun, and he leaves out with a bet of $3. And he says he's been betting around $3 to $5 often in the last hour and usually taking down the pot without a fight, regardless of his position. So certainly he's under the gun now. He doesn't have very good position. He's putting a $3 bet in there. Everyone folds around to our player, who is to the right of the dealer, and he has 10 of hearts and 10 of diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Says he's pretty sure he has the best hand, so he raises, making it $9 to go. So the dealer and the blinds fold, and E calls his raise. He says nothing about this seems strange. He wants to see the flop, and he says he also mistakenly gave him 2-1 to pot odds. So we're heads up going to the flop. At this point, seems like he's made a good play here. He's got pocket tens. He's got position. He's making a move on this guy.
It might seem like it to you, but not to me.
Go ahead.
So where did he go wrong so far?
Well, I don't like re-raising with a marginal hand like that against a player with so many chips in a spot where you're raising him an amount that he's going to call anyway. I mean, with two tens, there are more bad flops than there are good ones.
Okay. Great. So you would have just called here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So the pot's 1875 now. Flop comes three of hearts, four of clubs, jack of hearts.
Mm-hmm.
E player here checks now. And now our player with his pocket tens bets $9 into this pot.
Mine. Okay.
E calls the $9.
Okay.
So here he's got the overcard. There's an overcard on the board. He tried to steal the pot and didn't work. He says he thinks his opponent here is might have hit second or third pair or might be on a flush draw.
Okay.
The turn now comes a five of clubs.
Mm-hmm.
This aggressive player checks. Now our player says he doesn't think he'll fold whatever he has, so he's thinking maybe he would check raise if he had the jack. He still thinks that he's ahead in this hand as long as the flush card doesn't come, so he checks.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we think about this now?
Of course he's got to check there.
All right.
Right.
All right, so the pot is $3,275, and now the river comes. It's a two of diamonds.
So okay.
I think you know where we're going here. All right.
Uh-huh.
So our aggressive player E goes all in now for his last $37. He's obviously got our player covered, so this is for his last $20 in chips. Says the pot $69.75. He's getting 3-1 on his money. He goes through all the hands he thinks his opponent might have, and he puts them on ace of hearts, five of hearts,
okay,
which would have given him a straight there.
Right.
And he's thinking in typical E fashion, he got a little bit of the flop with a couple outs. He ultimately missed his big hand on the river, and now he's trying to blow me off a hand with a larger stack. So he calls. His opponent turns over four diamonds, six of hearts, though. Actually does have the straight.
Okay.
So he says he can't believe this guy stuck around after the flop with his heavy betting and blah, 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 blah. What do you think?
Well, I think he played the hand poorly. I think, first of all, you're talking about an aggressive wild player, right?
Right.
So re-raising him, he's raised to $3. When you're up against aggressive players like that, the goal is to trap them, okay? You don't want to put yourself in marginal situations and play bigger pots in spots where you're not really sure where you're going to be after the flop. And that's exactly what happened. The first player raised to three. You make it nine. He's not going to fold any two cards. So you've defined nothing. All you've done is played a bigger pot. Yes, you have position, but with a hand like tens, there's going to be so many difficult decisions you're going to have to make after the flop. Okay. So once the flop comes out, jack, four, three, two hearts, that's not a great flop. I mean, it's not a horrible flop, but it's not a great flop. When the first player checks, it's not a horrible decision to just check there. Show weakness and pick off a bluff. So, for example, he checks, then you check behind, and then if the turn comes another jack, you keel bet, maybe you can call. He might put you on an ace-king type hand. So you can almost, semi-trap at the same time play cautiously. However, having said that, I don't hate the $9 bet on the flop. It's not terrible at all.
Okay.
Once you make the $9 bet and the player calls, the turn card's a five. That's a horrible card. There's a few hands you can beat. There's a lot more hands you're going to lose to. And the other problem is that even if you have the best hand, there's so many hands that he can beat you with. So checking is definitely the right play on the turn.
Okay.
It's too much danger. When the river card comes to deuce and he's willing to put it all in, he's missing one piece of the puzzle. This player's not going to bluff in that spot because of the fact that you checked the turn. Because you checked the turn, he may put you on a hand like ace-king or maybe even ace-jack. So when the board comes to deuce, three, four, five, he knows you're going to call him with an ace. So he's betting it all in, hoping that you have an ace.
Right.
He's hoping you have an ace because he has the actual six. So he's actually hoping that you have the ace. So it's basically a no-brainer fold on the river. So I definitely like the fold. I thought the check on the turn was good. The bet on the flop was questionable. But the raise before the flop is what really causes the problem for the whole hand. Because you're, with two tens, and I just wrote an article about this, strangely enough, last night for a newspaper. And it talks about middle pairs and how people say they're the toughest hands to play, and I say the only reason they're difficult to play is when you play them improperly. If you play them cautiously and don't try to play too big a pot with them and play them like smaller pairs, you'll do much better in the long run.
A lot of times people will, when they talk about their favorite moment of something, it's always, it's always usually something, where it involves somebody famous or money, a lot of money or something like that. But my favorite moment over the past 3 years had to be during, I think, our first year retrospect when we looked back at the best, what the best moments were over that first year when we were really trying to get our feet, on the firm ground. And Scott confided in us, into the Antiup Nation as well, that his favorite moment was when we hit our stride and found a chemistry that worked. And to me, that was my favorite moment because it confirmed for me that I wasn't the only one who thought this was special, that thought, getting together every week and talking about poker and meeting these people and talking to these people and getting better at this fantastic game that we love. It wasn't just me. It was Scott, too. And he wanted to do it as much as I did. I wasn't pushing this on him. I wasn't, making him do this because, you know, I had started it with him and I wasn't holding him to hit. He appreciated it. You know, he revered it as much as I did. And for me, I knew at that moment that, you know, we were going to do something special together over the next, you know, few years. And now it's culminated in for us. And we're taking a big leap of faith here, and we're going to work together, and we're going to make this work, publishing a magazine together now, and of course still doing the show. And for me, I mean, it's been an honor working with him, and just knowing that he's on my side, and that we're going to get through this, and we're going to be successful, and it's going to be worth it, and all this time that we put in, it was very rewarding, and we're glad that we could, you know, just do it. For the fans, and now we're going to be doing it for ourselves as well.
I guess mine, I don't really have a an actual date when this happened, but I think it was when we finally established our chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, because when we started out, we didn't really know each other that well.
That's right.
We'd just been playing poker together for, I don't know.
Like 1 week.
Couple months.
Yeah,
most,
even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we didn't really know each other. So, you know, over the course of like, I don't know, the first 6 months or so, we got to know each other, and I think that finally...
I'm going to cry.
Don't cry. I didn't bring you tissues.
I think I'm going to weep.
I think it was right before the tournament, because I remember at the tournament people were talking about how they noticed that
we picked it up.
A light switch went off at some point at some show. So.
I'm Chris Cosenza.
I'm Scott Long.
And it's been a pleasure seeing you at the tables.